to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up. We don't have to bag up. But we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. Today is the day that we focus in on relationships. We normally like to focus in on relationship. And so today and tomorrow we'll be looking at relationship. And I also wanted to get in some edification to try to encourage you this morning to stay on the Christian journey, stay on the battlefield for the Lord. And so I wanted us to listen to a real good sermon. This is a sermon by Pastor John K. Jenkins. You know, we have had him on several times. Matter of fact, we had him last week, I believe, with another sermon. And so he got another sermon. And this sermon is called Leave the Honey Alone. Leave the Honey Alone. It's a message that he's going to preach out of the book of Judges, dealing with the life of Samson. So get close to your radio and listen as John Jenkins speaks.
A little bit different than the way I normally preach. Today I'm preaching a narrative sermon. Let me tell you what a narrative message is. I am telling you a story. My message is wrapped around a story. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not giving you no points. It's not going to be point one, point two, point three. You ain't gonna see no points on the screen. What you need to do is write whatever the Holy Ghost tells you while we're preaching. Amen. That rousing support, I appreciate that so much. The last 4 weeks, I've been preaching on destiny. Last week, we talked about that God causes all things to work together for our good. For those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The week, 3 weeks before that, we preached from Luke 22, again dealing with destiny. And today I feel compelled of God to talk to people who are in danger of aborting their destiny. It is important that you know that you can make some decisions and choices that will cause you to miss out on what God has for your life. And I know that's true because there are some places in the Bible where that has happened. One of those situations is the story of Samson, and that's what I'm going to talk about, is Samson. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Judges chapter 14. I'm going to look at a couple of verses, but if you get an opportunity to read verses 13 through 16, those chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 tell the story of Samson's life. And what happened with Samson is this. Samson is a guy whose very birth is the supernatural provisions of God. Here's a guy whose parents could not get pregnant. His mother couldn't get pregnant. And so she prayed to God that if God gave her a child, gave her a male son, she would dedicate that child to God. And that's what she did. She prayed and God gave her a male son. His name was Samson. She was so devoted to committing that child to God that she committed him to be a Nazarite. And what a Nazarite is an Israeli who dedicates their lives to the purposes of God. And he embraced it too. He accepted that as a call and an assignment on his life, that he was going to be a Nazarite. Now, in order to be a Nazarite, you had to make three commitments. Somebody say three. Here's the first one. The first commitment was you couldn't drink. No drinking. Look at your neighbor and say, that counts you out right off the bat for being a Nazarite. You are disqualified. Secondly, being a Nazarite meant that you would not cut your hair. He had dreads before dreads were in style. We know from the story that Samson's strength was in the locks of his hair. He gained his strength by virtue of the fact that he never cut his hair and God gave him supernatural strength. I think it's interesting, just as a side note, to talk about for just a moment the fact that the Bible gives us a lot of insight about hair. There's a lot of places that the Bible talks about hair, all over the Bible, lots of scriptures. And I believe that when you read about hair in the Bible, it is a symbol of character. It represents character. Somebody say character. So here's what I take about hair from, this is just a side note, this ain't the gist of the message, just a side note. I take from the fact that his strength was in the locks of his hair, I take as a point of application and truth that if hair represents character, then in fact, our strength as believers is not in what we do, but in who we are. And ultimately, that's what your strength is. It's not in the kind of job you have or the kind of clothes that you wear or the kind of house you live in. Our strength is that we have the character of Jesus being reflected inside of us. I take that from Samson's story. I take from the fact that the Bible says that John the Baptist wore camel's hair. He dressed differently from everybody else. He uniquely dressed by wearing camel's hair. I take that to say to us that God wants us to act differently than the rest of the world acts. Our character is to not be conformed to what the rest of the world's doing. When Paul wrote in Corinthians that a woman should keep her hair long and a man should keep his hair short, that he's not talking about the physical aspects of hair, but he is speaking about character. And by him saying that women's hair should be long and a man's hair short, he's trying to draw a distinction between the characters. In other words, God is saying that a man's character should be different than a woman's character. So you ought to be able to look at a man and tell he's a man. You ought to be able to look at a woman and tell she's a woman by the way they act. You come to my house, I am the man. If a couch needs to be moved, I move the couch. With the finances, I manage the money. I don't in my household, I don't go to my wife to get money. So I need some money for the electric bill. I don't go to my wife. That's my responsibility to take care of it. Not a brother clapped his hand. Not a single brother clapped his hand. Anyway, that's a side note. Let me leave that alone. I done lost some people just on that point right there. Samson's strength was in the locks of his hair. And so being a Nazarite meant that he wouldn't cut his hair. So he didn't drink, he didn't cut his hair. Thirdly, being a Nazarite meant that he would not come near or touch anything dead, any dead bodies. It's a commitment that he made. So these were the commitments that Nazarenes made. He made a commitment. And that's the commitment that he made. And so, and not only did his mother, make this commitment to God that she would dedicate him to the purposes of God, he also committed that he would do that. Now, here's the deal. I'm not going to keep y'all long. I promise I'll get you out of here by 2:30, 3 o'clock at the latest. Samson is a guy who had an assignment and a destiny in his life. He had great purpose. As a matter of fact, if you just read through chapters 13 through 16, you'll read about some of the great exploits that he had occur in his life. For 20 years, he served as a judge in Israel. Here's a guy who God gave him the power and the ability. He caught 300 foxes, tied them together, put torches to their tails, and sent those 300 foxes through the field of the enemy and burned up the enemy's fields. He did great exploits. Here's a guy who took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men by himself. This guy had great exploits. When his enemies tried to tie him down and rope him and contain him, he was so strong that he was able to break the ropes that they had to tie him down. Here's a guy who with his bare hands killed a lion. He had great exploits, but the problem is, as I'm telling you right here, that here's a guy who had a great purpose and a great assignment and a great destiny, but because he could not get his flesh under control, he ended up aborting his destiny. And I'm afraid we got some descendants of Samson here today. We got some people that are about to compromise their destiny because they cannot get their flesh under control. They cannot get their life under control. Here's a guy who ended up missing out on everything that God had for him. In spite of all of the provisions that God made for him, he ended up missing out and ended up compromising and ended up losing his life prematurely. As a matter of fact, y'all know he ended up in the lap of Delilah. There he is, laid up in another woman's lap that's not his wife. I don't have to go far today to find testimonies of people who ended up in somebody else's lap that wasn't their wife. And it cost them their lives, cost them their careers, cost them their jobs. And they answered him not a word. Y'all do know that what I'm telling you is truth. You do know that, right? I know why y'all quiet, because y'all thinking about the Delilahs that you have in your own life. Because everybody in here got a Delilah. Come on. You either got a Delilah or a David. Come on, son. Maybe your Delilah's name is David or Devin. Devin is your man. That's his name. You got somebody, something in your life. Here he pours out his heart to this woman, and she ends up taking the information and ends up cutting his hair. He loses his strength, and it eventually cost him his life. A lot of people ended up compromising and sacrificing their lives for a momentary thrill. Now, here's the deal. He didn't get into the situation of being in Delilah's lap overnight. He didn't just wake up one day and he was in Delilah's lap. He didn't wake up one morning and there he was entangled in a relationship with Delilah. It didn't happen overnight. It happened because over the course of time, he had small compromises. That's what messes you up. Small compromises. And I'm not giving y'all no subject. I'm going to give you the subject at the end. I need to tell you that because y'all act like y'all waiting on me to tell y'all something. I'm going to give you the subject at the end. Tell your neighbor, he's going to give you the subject at the end. Don't wait on the subject. He's going to give it to you at the end. It's a narrative sermon. Don't wait on points. Write down whatever God tells you. He ain't going to give you no points. Tell him. Tell your neighbor what I said. Small compromises. We see in chapter 16, he saw a prostitute and went and slept with her. He had an affinity for women. 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 And it got him in trouble. Somebody say amen. Got him in trouble. He didn't get there overnight. It's small compromises. And the first compromise that opened the door is right here in chapter 14. Now, can you walk with me through this one incident that sets the stage for the rest of his life that causes his downfall? In chapter 14 of Judges, are y'all there? Did I say turn to Judges 14? In verse 5, now let me give you some background. And earlier in chapter 14, he saw a woman that he was attracted to that he wanted to be his wife. He finally found a woman to be his wife. And he's in good shape here. He finds a woman he wants to be his wife, and he tells his parents about it. He wants to take his parents down to meet her. And in verse 5, so Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Stop right there. He's on his way to get his wife with his parents, going to hook up, and he gets attacked by a young roaring lion. Anytime you have a destiny, anytime you're going somewhere, anytime you have a purpose, somewhere on that journey, a lion is going to come up against you. Something is going to come roaring to try to destroy you. Something is going to come against you to try to take you out. Something is going to come and try to defeat you. And in Samson's case, it was a young roaring lion. And here's the deal. Brothers, some of y'all are going to get jacked up because there's going to be a young roaring lion. Something that a young thing is going to come up against you. It wasn't no old toothless lion coming up against you. Y'all come on and tell the truth that you got some lions. You got some stuff that comes up in your life. And here's the deal, the young roaring lion is something in your own strength and abilities you would never be able to conquer. By your own strengths and abilities. In the human sense, he could never defeat a young roaring lion by itself. But here's the key. The key is that verse number 6 says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. He killed the lion with his bare hands, by himself, with no assistance. Why? Because the Spirit of God came upon him and gave him the power to do supernaturally what he could not do in his own strength and power. And you need to know that whatever that lion is, whatever that thing is that's coming up against you, whatever that thing is that's coming to take you out, whatever that lion is that's trying to kill you, God will give you the strength and the power to overcome and take it and give you the victory. I wish I had an amen crowd somewhere in here. God will give you supernatural ability to overcome and defeat the young lions in your life. Not only did it happen in this case, but in several occasions in Samson's life, the Spirit of God came upon him and gave him power to overcome. Now, the difference between Samson's day and our day is in Samson's day, the Holy Spirit came upon men for a special assigned task, for a special assigned time. And when that task was done, the Spirit of God would leave and return back to God. But we have the blessings of having the Holy Ghost living and dwelling inside of us. Day in, day out, he does not depart. He stays with us. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a shout right there. So no matter what comes up beckoning you, calling you, the young lions come, and they gonna come. He got the victory. So he killed the young lion. And there, here it is. And y'all got lions. Come on. Y'all got stuff that you don't have the strength to walk away from. But God gives you the supernatural ability by his grace and by the Holy Ghost to not only conquer it, but to kill it. There's some things that God will kill in your life. There's some relationships he will kill. Some habits he will kill. Some stuff that would take you out, he will kill it. I don't know who you are. If you're a drug addict, a prostitute, a whoremonger, a homosexual, a lesbian, an alcoholic,
your life. Hallelujah. I wish I had a praying crowd. I wish I had somebody to pray with me. He'll kill it in your life. He'll kill it in your life. Killed it. There's some relationships that were about to take you out, but God killed it. Some people you got hooked up with that didn't mean you good, but God will help you kill it. Hallelujah. He'll end the relationship. He'll give you the victory. He'll give you the ability to conquer it. And that's what happened with Samson. He killed it. He killed the lion. That thing that was designed to kill him, he killed it. Amen. Verse 7 says, Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after some time, when he returned to get her, to get his wife, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Now capture this. He's going back to get his wife, and on his return journey to get her, he sees the carcass of the lion that he had killed. He saw the remains of the lion laying there, and he saw it. And the text says, and behold, verse 8, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. Now here's the problem. He goes over to take a look at this carcass of a lion, and he notices that there's some honey in the lion. You get in trouble when you go to check out something that God done killed in your life. Y'all miss that point. You in trouble when you just calling to see how they doing. When you just going by the club just to see who might be there that used to be there. I can't get no help up in here.
All right, we're going to have to stop the tape right here today, but we'll pick right back up there tomorrow. That was John Jenkins preaching a sermon, Leave the Honey Alone. That's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.